Now, Manuel Corpus, Manny, I like to call you. Good morning, Manny. You were laughing about that, weren't you, that song?
Hi, good morning.
It's a bit mad here sometimes.
It's lovely.
Now, good morning. It's lovely to have you here. We are going to be talking about some very interesting subjects this morning that really fascinated me when I got hold of you a few weeks ago. Now, we're going to be talking about genomic testing, aren't we? And in particular, your book. But I think it would be quite a good idea to talk about you and where you've come from and what actually you do.
Okay, so I would define myself as a bioinformatician. So I use computers to understand biology. And in the past decade or so, we've had a huge revolution whereby we are able to sequence the genome of people cheaply and quickly. And the genome, which is basically all the instructions that make a person have the specific traits.
So can I just say, because I want to just make it clear between genetics and genomics. Now, genetics is a study, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a study of inherited traits such as hair or eye colour that are passed from one generation to the next through genes. Is that right?
I don't like that definition.
Okay,
so for me, genetics is kind of a gene-driven science. And, you know, the trying to sort of find the difference between genetics and genomics, I think, is kind of futile.
Okay.
Because both of them are really the same thing. We want to understand the extent to which is possible how our genes, how our genetic code makes us be the way we are.
Right, okay.
I think that's really what we are talking about here.
So from a point, so the study of genomics is the interaction between certain genes and the body, including the role of certain diseases?
So when we talk about genomics, what we are really talking is not just about one gene, two genes, but we are talking about the whole of the genetic code that you have, encompassing all of the genes that our body has, which in our case, we are about 20,000 genes.
Wow.
So I think what has happened is that in the past decade or so, technology has accelerated so much that it doesn't make any sense now to look at genes individually. It makes sense to look at them in the context of the whole organism. And so that's why we are kind of talking about genomics.
Yes, exactly. So now you are a scientist lead for which company is this?
So I work as scientist lead for a startup company in the science near the science park.
Yes,
is located in the Future Business Center, which is a University of Cambridge incubator.
Right.
The company name is called Repositive. So it's basically a huge catalog of current data that has been produced by all of the research in the world in genetics and genomics and so on. And what we do is to help scientists find all of the different data that has been produced to date so that then they can reuse it for performing their own research experiments. It may sound like it's a kind of trivial thing to do, but in fact what happens is that there are so many different studies that have been performed, and they are all sort of scattered throughout the internet. If you want to actually reuse any of those data that have been produced by those studies, then you actually, before we had our company, you had to go through Google, look at many different places. They all had very different places where to find them. And what we are having is now a centralized, so to speak, catalog of all known data that has been produced in the field of genomics. And in a way, it's a little bit like a TripAdvisor. You know, when you actually try to book a hotel, you don't go to every single website of every single hotel that is out there. Mm. You go to hotels.com or booking.com to see all the different offers that are out there. So in our case, if you are interested to find all of the data that exists for obesity in genomics, then it's, instead of having to go to all the different companies and all the different places where you could find data, you go to Repositive, and Repositive helps you find and help you understand what's the best type of data for your experiment.
Yes. So, okay, now let's put this into case studies here. You're saying that the NHS are using this data, aren't they? Is that right?
So the NHS is now running a very well-known program called Genomics England, which is basically a private company set up by the Ministry, the Department of Health. The objective of Genomics England is to sort of be like a kind of pilot whereby they're going to sequence 100,000 genomes from people with rare diseases and different types of cancer. And to some extent, this kind of cohort is, I would say, the low-hanging fruit. So we know they have actually identified a set of well-known conditions that are definitely genetic, that potentially by doing sequencing they can produce a good diagnosis for those patients. And so the whole purpose of Genomics England is really to be the first step before genome sequencing becomes clinical routine. And so what they're trying to do is to go first with people who need it most, but then potentially extending to the whole population in the UK.
Right. So, and are you talking about people that have diseases? How you're treating somebody with a particular disease?
So what happens usually is that, you know, there are many children that they are born. You know that, you know, they have mental retardation, they have specific diseases. You know that it's a genetic disease because they are born with that.
Yeah.
Up to now, it wasn't possible to be able to tell, this is the actual mutation, this is the actual change that is causing the disease. But with the new technologies, whereby the power of resolution, we go down to the molecular level, we can now identify the most likely mutation that is causing the disease. And cancer itself, again, is an essentially genetic disease. And so what Genomics England is doing is to actually characterize well-known types of patients that certainly have a genetic disease and then help diagnose specifically the condition that is affecting them. And you may say, well, you know, diagnose, but, you know, what's the point of diagnose when you cannot actually do a lot? I would say that you can do a lot because, first of all, when you talk to families who have affected children, the fact that now you have a label, something where you can go in the NHS, you now can now begin to get services specifically to ameliorate the symptoms that the patient have. At the same time, you can get and talk to families that share the same condition. So diagnose is not the end of the cure, but it's certainly a huge relief for the families because now you can actually do something specifically to treat the patient.
And what I from understand that is that not everyone will have a certain type of cancer, say,
for example,
but individually you'll be quite different. So you'll be treated very differently with drugs because of the genetic setup that has been recognized.
So I say that this kind of way of thinking, whereby actually there are no illnesses really, what you have is that each person has their own version of illness, and that's particularly true in cancer, whereby there isn't just one type of cancer, there are, you know, hundreds of cancer, and this illnesses are a consequence of your genetic code of a particular number of cells that then becomes and misbehave, and then it actually begins to sort of conquer or to sort of go into places where it should not go. So in a way, I forgot why we were talking about this specific
thing. We were talking about treating patients individually. All will be treated the same with the same drug. They will have
Exactly.
Certain...
So this is a new paradigm of what we call either personalized medicine or now it's also being called precision medicine, whereby what's happening is that, for example, for a particular cancer, what you want to understand is what are the type of treatments, what are the type of drugs that are specifically tailored to the type of mutation that you have in your genome. And by having that specifically personalized treatment, then you can have a much better chance of curing the disease. Obviously, you may not have the drug that is specifically to your condition, but at least you can in vitro test specifically what are the drugs that are most likely to be effective for your own genetic makeup. And that's what we call personalized medicine, because the way you react, the secondary effects that you may have will be to some extent influenced by your own genes.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely fascinating. Manik, can you just tell us a bit about your book? Because I'm fascinated by this, called Perfect DNA. Tell us about why did you write a novel? It does seem a bit bizarre. Scientist, novel.
Yes. So I was the first, well, my family and myself, we were the first who actually sequenced our genome and put it on the internet for anyone to actually download that information. This led to the fact that at the time, many different scientists said, oh, there aren't any people who are actually willing to share their own personal genomes because there is a lot of exceptionalism. You know, people think that by putting your genome on the internet that, you know, they're going to know everything about you. And I could actually say, you know, people probably know more about you by looking at your Facebook profile than looking at your own genome. But anyway, so what happened was that I was able to learn many, many things that because no one actually wanted to fund this particular study, I did it from my own, looking as a consumer, you know, having a credit card and an internet connection, what is the extent to which I can learn the most about my own personal genomes. Mm. And so this led to a series of situations in my family whereby, you know, I had some colleagues saying, hey, you kind of are making your family do it for you. And my family, who are from Spain, they were like, oh, no, yes, we're going to do this. You know, it's really interesting. And we don't mind sharing our genes. You know, how Spanish are, they're very laid back. So not like the British anyway. So I was able to learn the extent, really, to which you can learn from your genes, given the state of the art in terms of the technologies, etc. And so my question for writing this novel was, okay, so I've been able to learn this kind of thing, but actually this is the kind of issues with communication between different family members, who's got the best genome, these kind of questions which some people begin to ask. And so I was thinking, you know, people really need to know about this.
Yeah.
And this is going to be mainstream in the next decade. You know, I expect that this country, at least 15% of everyone in this country will be sequenced in the next 10 years. And so they will be confronted to a number of questions. And so I wanted to put it in the sense of what would be like in 10 years' time when genomics become widespread. How is that going to affect family relationships, lifestyles, insurance companies? You know, how would you monetize your own personal genome? How much is it worth? The same that you have a credit score, you know, when you have a mortgage. You know, I can see that perhaps we're going to have a genetic score.
Yeah.
A genetic score that could tell us how long we are going to live genetically, because, you know, how long we live to some extent is also programmed in our own personal genes. So I was trying to speculate into the context of a novel so that then I could begin to explore, you know, how relationships would be between different people. And that's precisely what I write in the book. It's a novel on the future.
And as it says, it explores the future of genomic testing and the impact it have on people. It's set in 2030. It describes the story of an everyday man, John Malcolm, and how his decision to get a genetic testing following his father's death affects life in unpredictable ways. Fascinating. I love the way you've actually put it in our lives. And that's a really good idea because you're a scientist, and yes, it must be so hard sometimes to tell us who are not scientists that this is the way forward and it is a really, really important subject.
Well, the thing is that, you know, my mum had to leave school. She hardly knows how to read or write because, and so I've always had to explain with very plain language, you know, to my mom what it is that I'm doing. And I don't think she doesn't even know what a PhD is. I know that she was saying to me, Manuel, when are you going to stop studying? And I said, Mom, I need to really keep on studying.
Keep going, yes.
That's the way. So I've always had this sort of, on the one hand, I really like the communication aspect of science.
Yes.
On the other, I feel compelled to tell a story that, to some extent, you know, I'm really passionate about the genomics field. And because I care about this, I see a lot of lies, really. So, you know, now in the Trump era,
yes,
and lack of facts. But, you know, yes, I think this is really important to have the actual evidence. You know, the genome is not a new kind of horoscope. The genome is simply something that we are able to measure now. which is not going to tell you the future, but is something that certainly influences pretty much in every aspect of your life.
Thank you very much, Manuel, or Manny, as you like me to call you. Thank you so much for coming in today for Cambridge 105.
That's pleasure.
Manuel Corpus brings to light the complex areas of genetic testing and its impact on people and the future. I think it's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much indeed.